There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into this week's episode of NFL Friday. My name is Brendan Shorey, and I'm joined by Derek Bollier and Vanessa Kosuda. It's a NFL Friday episode where I believe there hasn't been one in the past 2 weeks. So picking it back up right after the holidays, January 2nd, so New Year's Day was yesterday. But before we get into anything NFL related, Derek, Vanessa, how are you guys doing today?
Good. Happy to be here. Happy to talk about some football. There's a lot to talk about, so I think it's going to be a really exciting episode.
Yeah, feeling fantastic. I'm back home in the Carolinas. And speaking of the Carolinas, the Panthers have a big game tomorrow. So we'll get into that, obviously. But they've got one of the bigger games for Week 18. So excited to talk about that and glaze Bryce Young a little bit. But we'll get there.
Yeah, Week 18 action this week. A week where there is a lot on the line for a handful of teams, actually. Before we get into any playoff implications, though, we'll start with our more local teams, with our New York teams. The Giants, 34-10 win over the Raiders this last week. In a game where I'm assuming a lot of Giants fans were rooting for them to lose because the number one pick was at stake. It looks like, as of right now, the Raiders are going to take that one home. They're going to end up with the number one pick because they ended up losing this game.
So with the Giants losing, do they have the number two pick now? Is that what it's kind of like in order?
That's what it's looking like. It's looking like it's Raiders 1, Giants 2, which in theory isn't terrible for the Giants because you're not taking a quarterback, but it's right. A lot of trade value that you just lost out on.
That's true. But even then, again, the number two pick, still not horrible. This Giants team, I mean, you'd prefer to obviously have that one pick, but again, this team isn't playing to their full potential. They've still got a lot of injuries that they have to deal with. A lot of their big guys out, obviously Malik Nabers, Cam Scadaboo. but the number two pick certainly could definitely help them, depending on, I mean, they have a lot of weaknesses. Obviously, three wins is certainly not something that you would be proud of, a team that you think could win a lot next year. But well, you would like to have the number one pick. Again, the Raiders probably would take a quarterback, so you really don't have to worry about them taking a star receiver or a defensive player that you would want. You'd probably just be fine with whoever that you want. But obviously, maybe you hope the Giants don't win again.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, our problem, at least, or the Giants' problem, isn't really a quarterback problem as of right now. You know, it's more of a wide receiver. We just need like another wide receiver or, you know, someone on that O-line that can help. Whereas the Raiders have a quarterback problem. They do, like, Geno Smith is average to below average as a quarterback. So, you know, I think getting that big quarterback pick out of the way, I think just makes everything so much easier. Would I have preferred it to be the first round pick? And did they have to, you know, play like the friggin' Patriots in like 2018, 2019? Wasn't really necessary, but at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. They got the win, so.
It does, to me, it does raise questions whether you still trade down from that two spot if you're the Giants. Obviously, you want either one of these top receivers from the class or potentially a DB or some other secondary piece. But you look at kind of how this top 10 rounds out. You have the Jets right behind you who are in need for a quarterback, but I don't see them trading up with the Giants. You've the Titans, Cardinals, Browns, Commanders, Saints, Chiefs, and Bengals, which to me, I don't see a lot of those teams needing quarterbacks. But you also have the Dolphins sitting at 11, who very well could be in the running for a quarterback, and maybe that's a spot where you could trade down to. And if they're trying to jump the Jets for Mendoza, or Mendoza's probably going number one to the Raiders, but for a guy like Dante Moore from Oregon, I mean, there really only are two good quarterbacks in this class coming up.
Yeah.
So interesting to see which way the Giants kind of take, which approach they take this week. They do have a game this upcoming weekend, which I want to talk about as well. Giants, Cowboys, and I know you guys mentioned it earlier. You hope that the Giants don't win this one as well.
I mean, I'm not a Jets fan, obviously, but I think you prefer to just lose this game. I mean, accepted that this season has already kind of come to an end, come to a close. You're okay with maybe, maybe doing a little bit, having a little bit of excitement, but not really going out for a win. But just trying to secure a good draft spot. You have a lot to look forward to next season, I think, as a Giants fan. Or at least a lot to hope for. Maybe not a lot to look forward to as the season starts. The Giants tend to,
A lot of young pieces there.
yeah, exactly. And hopefully adding more with a good draft. But yeah, I mean, you really just, I mean, you want to see a win emotionally, but like it realistically, you don't need one.
Yeah, I mean, I think Derek said everything that I would really say. I agree with all of those points. At the end of the day, I don't even know how much it matters at this point. It's just my question is if they do trade down and just like where like what would they get in return? It would like what other like would they get another player? Would they get another draft pick? Like that's just my, I'm just very curious. But then again, the draft is what, 4 months from now, 4 or 5 months from now. So, honestly, anything could happen. I just hope that they just are successful and get the job done with that.
That is an interesting point you bring up, because there were rumors like around the trade deadline this year where Jaylen Waddle was a potential target for the Giants, and Chris Olave was a potential target. But it is interesting to see whether, they pull off kind of a move like the Bears did, where they traded down and they got DJ Moore in return, and then more picks where they got Caleb Williams and built around that, or whether it's just straight draft capital, try and recoup some more picks this year in the future, and go the younger route. So it is interesting to see the Giants are in a, they're in a pretty good spot as a franchise, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, first and foremost, I know Chris Olave doesn't want to leave New Orleans. I know he said that during the trade deadline, which I was pretty surprised to hear because I was like, you're always getting injured and screwed over by somebody. But at least you're happy. I think it would be really cool to see Jaylen Waddle there. Just because he's so talented, and I might be biased because he is on my fantasy team, but he's just a great offensive weapon, and like him with Malik Nabers would just be solid, and I think they need more of a vet wide receiver as well.
I was going to say, with how young the team is, going out and getting a veteran and trading up wouldn't necessarily be a horrible thing. And if you do add a lot of draft capital this draft, you'd have even more young guys, and you need that veteran presence. You need someone to direct, especially with a young QB, a young running back, a young, like the whole offense essentially is young. So you really need some kind of veteran presence, like an Olave, like a Waddle, just
Yeah, and
someone.
it's also just interesting to see what's going to happen with all the coaching stuff this year too. Who's going to be the new head coach, defensive coordinators like on the market, right?
Yeah, still looking for all that. And I think it's interesting also, you guys mentioned, I'll, since they have so many young players, they're able to afford a veteran receiver. They will have the cap space because they have so many players on rookie contracts still on both sides of the ball. But the Giants in a very interesting spot. We'll shift our focus a little bit And still, before we hop into any upcoming games, we'll talk about the Jets. 42-10 loss against the Patriots last week. A game in which Drake May came out third quarter at the latest. Just absolutely tore the defense up. Zero interceptions on the season for this Jets defense. So that hasn't happened in at least a very long time. I'm not sure if it's ever happened in NFL history. Just, I guess, what kind of direction do you guys see this Jets team heading in?
A bad one.
Yeah, I just they're at so they just need so much help, but it's just I don't even know what to say about it, just because like no matter whatever they're just they keep looking for new quarterbacks and they just keep not doing well because the other weapons are not doing well. There's plenty of people that aren't happy there. And it's just a mess. The whole Jets organization is just a mess, or it's just you can't even pinpoint like one thing that needs to be improved because they're just such a mess in all corners, you know?
They are on their third quarterback of the year.
Yeah.
Their second leading receiver is Garrett Wilson, who hasn't played in I don't even know how many weeks. He has 395 yards on the year. That is their second leading receiver. It is an absolute mess over there in New York with these Jets. But again, the bright spot for them, they're in line for the number three pick. They're in line to get one of the top two quarterbacks in this class. And I guess one more question is, like, how much will that quarterback help them versus how, do they have so many more holes on this team that you don't see this Jets team being competitive for the next few years?
Well, the problem is they've been having that revolving door of quarterbacks, so they keep focusing and putting so much effort into getting that quarterback, but then you end up maybe let's just pretend they the quarterback they draft, whoever they draft, does end up working out. You don't have anyone built around them anymore. You've gotten rid of so many pieces, so many trying to get this perfect quarterback, and then they don't work, and then you go out and get another one, you go out and get another one, you go out and get another one. And then you finally get the one, but you don't there's no defense. They have four takeaways. They have four turnovers and the whole season, that'd be the least ever. They have no interceptions. That is would be the least ever. The least ever was 2018 San Francisco. They had two. That they have no defense to build around the quarterback to prevent the other team from scoring. They don't have any weapons anymore. Or they have a couple weapons, but not a great offense to build around this quarterback. So even if they do end up getting that quarterback that does end up working, it'd be It really, I don't know where they go from there unless they draft really, really well. They'd have to get another couple drafts, even in my opinion, or trade. They don't have anything to trade for. Well, they got
Yeah.
a little bit for Sauce, but they just don't have pieces to build around that quarterback, even if they do get a good one.
It's the same Jets story. They go out in the first round and they think they have their savior of a quarterback. They destroy this quarterback's career where they just end up on the bench. Sam Darnold, that is just like a miracle story because now look how successful he is. With the Seahawks and with the Vikings last year, Zach Wilson is a benched quarterback. He's QB2 for the Dolphins, and he was QB2 or
And that's after
QB3 for the
Tua was
Broncos.
benched.
Yeah, that's after Tua was benched. Like they just went straight to Quinn Ewers. They didn't even have him try and start a game, you know? So it's just like and then you know, there's just all these quarterbacks that just aren't good, or they don't have enough to make a quarterback successful. You know, I don't even know how they would utilize a good quarterback because they're always getting sacked because their O-line is so weak. You know, the defense is not really backing them up in any way, shape, or form. And the second there's an injury with a wide receiver or a running back, then the whole season's kind of screwed.
Well, yeah, on that point, even if they do draft someone who has the weapons and the capabilities to be a good quarterback, it might not show that they are good because they don't have anyone for them to go to. So even if their draft
Exactly.
pick would work on a team with weapons, it wouldn't work on the Jets because they have nothing for the quarterback to work with. So it might just end up being another panel on the revolving door of
Yeah.
just the Jets.
Their
I'll give
infinite revolving door.
yes.
Them a little credit. I think you look at the team right now, you have Garrett Wilson, if he can stay healthy, he's a solid young receiver. If you're able to retain Breece Hall, a good young, semi-young running back, Mason Taylor, a good young tight end. In the trades, Andy Mitchell could be a solid wide receiver too. He's super young. You have your future left tackle in Armon Membu, who you just drafted this last year. And then you look at the trades that for Sauce and Quinnen Williams, where they got 3 first-round picks for those guys. I think if, and it's a big if, but if they can hit on those first round draft picks, and I say it's a big if because it's the Jets and they do not have the best draft history as of recent.
Right.
But if they can hit on those first round picks, they can hit on even some of the day two picks, then I think that they have enough there where they could be decent in 4 or 5 years. But
That's still
again,
so far away,
it
too.
Twenty
is.
thirty.
They could be a solid 2030 team, a borderline wildcard team in 2030.
I also think there's a like I think they could also get some value if they trade Breece Hall, because I know he wants out of there. Like, I think he's just gonna try and find a way to request a trade and just get out of there if he can, and then they're just gonna, dump him for some form of value,
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to say their asking price at the trade deadline this year was like a third round pick, and I know the Chiefs came in and offered like a fourth, and they declined it. So they obviously think highly of Breece Hall, highly enough where they were not very willing to budge on how much they were asking for.
Yeah, I mean, he's a talented running back. He's just it's the Jets. He got screwed over multiple times with the Jets. But yeah, no, I think a lot could happen with them if they do, try and use Breece Hall as this like valued weapon of sorts.
It's always gonna be so funny to me just remembering the only like the quote I think of whenever I think about the Jets is when their owner, I can't remember how many off seasons ago, maybe it was two, where he said that he goes out and signs players based off their Madden ratings. And I was actually like, you are a or sorry, their general manager. I was like, you are a general manager in the NFL and you're not able to judge talent. Like
Crazy.
that's that I mean, I think that fully sums up the Jets right there.
Yeah.
And their downfalls over the past how many years? When was the last time they were in the playoffs? 2015, maybe, with Mark Sanchez. So the Jets are I don't even know how to say it nicely. Very bad right
Bad. They're just
just
bad.
horrible.
now. We'll move on from the Jets. And Derek, you mentioned it. Couple games Saturday. You got a big one with the Panthers fighting for the division here, fighting for that last playoff spot with the Bucks. And so I'll toss it to you first, Derek. Just pre-game thoughts on this one. It is in Tampa Bay. The Bucks are 3-point favorites against the Panthers. How hopeful, how confident are you?
I'm pretty hopeful. The Panthers do certainly play better at home. But the Bucks aren't also a great home team either, so it's kind of just like neither team might play well, Panthers away and Bucks at home. But the Bucks are like what 1-7 in their last 8 games or something like that. Not a lot of hope for them. Panthers certainly didn't play well last game against the Seahawks, but their last 8, 9 games have been swapping from wins to loss. So win, loss, win, loss. So they're on track for a win today, or not today, tomorrow. Got a lot of players. A lot of players played really well against Tampa the week before. Derrick Brown, a really good defensive lineman over there, has been doing a lot of work. Tet, probably going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, at least I hope so. Bryce Young, not a good game last week, but that Seattle defense was definitely cooking him up. So, yeah, there was he had his first turnover in a while, in Seattle, but I think he's going to go into Tampa, and I think he'll play a lot better. That's what I like to hope. But even then, even if the Panthers do end up losing, it's not a win or go home game for the Panthers. If they do lose and then the Falcons win, the Panthers, the Bucks, and the Falcons will all be 8-9. And because of like 16 different tiebreakers, the Panthers technically would be the winners of the NFC South. So it's not a win or go home for the Panthers, but it kind of is. New Orleans probably cooks Atlanta, to be honest, but it's gonna be a really good game. I'm really excited to watch. Gonna definitely sit down for 3 hours and just stare at the TV. It'll be a good game, I think. I hope. But hopefully, you see Carolina in the playoffs for the first time in 10 years. That's my
So let me
spiel.
get your opinion on this then, because a lot of people online are saying that the 5 seed is probably the second most popular, or second most desirable spot in the NFC playoffs, because you get to go play the NFC South team in the first round of the playoffs. So what do you like? How much offense do you take to that?
I take quite a bit of offense. I think the Panthers are. I would be. And my. Okay, let's pretend the Panthers lose and the Falcons win and they're 8-9. Would you not be terrified to walk into Carolina to play the 8-9 Carolina Panthers in the playoffs? Would that not be terrifying? Imagine you're like the 13-4 Rams and you just walk, which also we beat the Rams already. The Panthers already beat the Rams. But you're like, you have 13 wins and you have to walk into Carolina and play the 8-9 Carolina Panthers in the playoffs. Would that not be terrifying?
Not really.
No, that's
Not
terrifying to
really.
me. No, that'd be
Also, the
terrifying.
fact that you're an 8-9 team and you make the playoffs is crazy to
Yeah.
me.
That's just
But
how
then
bad the NFC
again,
South is.
the NFC South is such an odd division, genuinely. Like all these teams could just not be like could just be mediocre at best, not have good records, and then just like have these crazy games and just like pop off. As far as the Panthers and Bucks game goes, I'm a bit conflicted. I think it would be really exciting to see the Panthers in the playoffs. I also think that they could go out and win, but then again, I'm just like I love Baker so much. So it's just seeing
Boo.
this. Seeing the Bucks kind of just, fall apart a little bit when they started out the season off pretty strong, especially when Baker was in like the MVP talks for a little bit. It's just sad to see such a talented team just, it kind of goes to waste in a way.
Don't know. I kind of enjoyed it, but that's
I'm
just
gonna
me.
side with Derek on this one. I'm
Yeah.
I'm going for the Panthers, and I think, just like for the sake of it being a better game in the playoffs, I think the Panthers are a much hotter team right now
Oh,
than
yeah,
the
for
Bucks.
sure.
I think the fall off of Baker Mayfield this season needs to be studied. Just the way that they started off like 5-2 and then have been going, they've been playing terribly since. I think just putting the hotter team, well, if the Panthers win, that they would be putting the hotter team into the playoffs, and I think that would ultimately result in a better first round game. I think, sorry, Derek, that they would get bounced in the first round anyways.
Okay, fair.
But
But to be
I'm
fair though, like I'm not I think it would be great to see the Panthers make it into the playoffs. I think it would be very interesting just because they are such a gritty team. They have that determination and that fight, and they can beat a 13-4 Rams team, which you could argue is one of the powerhouses in this playoff. I think it could be exciting to see quite the upset happen when you're we're winning on that grit and determination that the Panthers have.
So what
Derek,
I'm hearing
is this
it
the first time since Cam Newton?
yes. I don't think we've made the playoff, or I don't think the Panthers have made the playoffs since I don't know. Hold on. Panthers playoffs. I don't think it was 2015. I think they made it again after the Super Bowl appearance that they had against the Broncos in 2015. I think it was 2017, I want to say. Okay, I searched
Yeah, I
Panthers
believe it was
playoffs and it brought up the Florida.
2017.
It brought up the Florida Panthers when I Googled it. Thanks.
That's brutal.
Why is it taking so long? Come on. There we go. 2017. And then
Okay.
they lost in the wild card round of the Saints is the problem.
Okay. Was that was still Cam though, right?
It was still Cam, yeah.
Okay,
He
so
left for New England not long after, but
yeah. So this would be first time post Cam back in the playoffs.
yeah. It's exciting. It's exciting. Charlotte has certainly last year, if you looked at Bank of America Stadium, completely empty. You
Weren't
look.
they selling like really good seats for like $20?
Yes. Like it would no, like
Rough.
even less than that, like $5 to sit like right on the field. Like it was really bad.
Yeah.
But then this year, I looked at tickets since I'm home. I looked at tickets to I live 30 minutes from the stadium, like I'm pretty close. I looked at tickets to go to the Seattle game. It's like $120 to sit like a mile away from the field. I was not doing that. But it's like the stadium's loud now. There's people in the stadium, everyone's excited. Everyone like the Panthers are I'm not gonna say they're playing good football. I mean, every once in a while they play good football. But I mean they're
They're
playing
playing gritty football that people and like fans enjoy. It makes them want
exactly.
to root for them, you know?
They're the likable team. Bryce Young's a
Yeah.
very likable guy.
Yeah, he is.
That like exactly, everyone likes Bryce Young.
And he's
The
just very
Panthers.
talented overall, too. I mean,
Well,
I felt
every
so bad for him those first like 2 years, just, you know, not having that success, you know. But now that he does, it's really, I'm just happy for him, genuinely.
The Panthers secretly hired Rod Wave as a quarterback coach. But
What could
the
he have
Panthers,
said?
I have no idea what he said, but I'm happy he said it. But the Panthers are they're the likable team that kind of sucks. They're like the Nationals whenever they made the playoffs in baseball and they ended up going to the World Series and winning it. They're like the random wild card team that everyone kind of likes. So I'm hoping that I'm really hoping the Panthers win at least one playoff game. I'm hoping they make the playoffs first. They make the playoffs, and I hope they win at least one game. But any honestly, I expected they won 5 games last year. I expected 6, maybe 7. But you know, I'm just happy to see improvement from Bryce Young. Happy to see everyone said that the Panthers draft was really good, and I agreed with them. And Tet has been very, very good. Rico Dowdle was a very big surprise. I'm gonna keep ranting about the Panthers, but I'm very happy to see like where the team has gone. I'm happy to see that they improved, and I really think that over the next couple of years they'll keep improving, and I think they won't have to make the playoffs as a 9-win team, maybe an 8-win team, maybe a 10 or 12, you know, some in that range. Just hope the Panthers can start playing well again, because it's sad to see Bank of America Charlotte really empty. But anyway, that's my rant about the Panthers. We can move on if you guys want.
Another team with a bright future. They play tomorrow, 3-point dogs against the Bucks. The other game tomorrow, Seahawks 49ers for the one seed in San Francisco. Seattle's actually favored by 1.5. Seattle controls their own destiny. If they had won last week, which they did, and then they win again this week, they get the number one seed. Otherwise, it is the Seahawks. I'll just throw it out to you guys. I'll go to you first this time, Vanessa. Just any predictions for this game? Which way are you leaning?
I'm very, very, very excited for this game. When I saw that this was the matchup and that it was the battle for the one seed, I was thrilled. I just think that the Seahawks are so hot right now that, you know, I think that they can take it away. But then again, the 49ers are also playing great, especially when they're very limited on defense. You know, you don't have Bosa or Fred Warner, but the offense is pretty sharp. Brock Purdy's playing fantastic. McCaffrey's lighting it up. Have Ricky Pearsall and you have George Kittle as awesome weapons as well. And then on the Seahawks side, you have Sam Darnold who's tearing it up as well. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who's probably going to be the offensive player of the year favorite. And, you know, you have Kenneth Walker who's doing pretty okay, I suppose. He can have that one, you know, pop off play that'll be huge. I just think that the Seahawks are a little bit more put together right now, just because the 49ers have been just kind of dealing with the injuries, and then also Brandon Ayuk has been like MIA. He's just not even been with the 49ers at all. So I think it's anyone's game. I think it's gonna be very, very, very close. I think it could even make it into overtime. But I think the Seahawks can definitely pull it off here.
I'm gonna disagree once again with Vanessa over here. I'm gonna I watched a lot of I didn't watch the whole game, but I watched a lot of the 49ers Bears game. It was very back and forth, and the spirit of John Wall has entered Brock Purdy, and he has ever since he hit the Dougie, Brock Purdy's been a different man. I think the Brock Purdy system quarterback allegations have officially been banished to a faraway lands, and I think Brock Purdy can carry. Well, not himself, obviously. Christian McCaffrey's been doing so much for this 49ers team, just holding it together. But I think the Niners have a really good shot at taking this game. I don't know why. I just have a lot of faith in the 49ers. I think that the Seattle defense is very good, and I think it will slow the Niners offense, which how hot they've been. They scored, what, 42 against the Bears. I don't think it's enough to fully stop the offense, and I don't think the Seattle has enough of an offense to score. Even while the defense will slow down the Niners' offense, I don't think it will slow them down enough where Seattle can catch up.
I'm gonna
That's my
agree
take.
with Derek on this one again.
Yeah.
All right, I'll be the minority. That's fine. That's fine.
I think this one's gonna come down to coaching, and I trust Kyle Shanahan so much right now, considering the injuries that they've had and how he has his team at 12 wins. I trust Robert Saleh a lot. Again, Fred Warner and Bosa have been out almost all year, and he still has kept his defense afloat. I think the 49ers offense punted 2 times in the month, 2 or 3 times in the month of December, in like the 3 games they played, which is absolutely nuts. They are so hot right now. I think if they're able to find a way to get pressure on Darnold, that they will be able to impact him a lot, and come away with this one. I love this 49ers team, especially in the Bay. They're at home. They have the entire crowd with them. And then again, the coaching. I think Kyle Shanahan is. I love Mike McDonald. I love what he's done in Seattle, but I think Shanahan is going to come circles around him and get the 1 seed for the Niners. We don't have a whole lot of time left on this Zoom. We have about 5.5 minutes. So a couple more things I want to talk about. We'll go quickly. There's one more game that is going to determine who gets in and who doesn't. It's in the AFC North. Ravens Steelers. Winner gets into the playoffs. It is in Pittsburgh, but Baltimore is 3.5 point favorites. Derek, Vanessa, I'll go Derek first, but you got this one. Lamar is playing, by the way.
Lamar is playing. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, he honestly, Lamar might hurt the Ravens more than he's been helping them because he hasn't really been doing a whole lot. But I think if you just keep holding the giving the ball to Derrick Henry will do magical things if he doesn't drop it. But I like the Ravens, and looking at their home away splits, they play better at home, or they play better away, excuse me. They actually kind of suck at home. But that also might just be with the injuries they were dealing with happened to be when they played at home more. But Lamar's back. Derrick Henry showed off last game. Their defense still kind of sucks. But oh, did my camera cut out? Whatever. I don't know. I like the Ravens, and I think if they keep giving it to Derrick Henry, they have a really good shot at least scoring quite a bit to hopefully hold up with their defense. Oh, there it is. Oh, nope.
Camera
Yeah,
fell, but
I agree with Derek. Will I say that I'm a little angry that, of course, Derek Henry popped off on my fantasy team when one game didn't matter. It is what it is. But
how it
you
always
know,
goes.
it's all I see the 45 points. I'm like at the gym and I'm like, really?
Could have done this last week.
Like you couldn't have done this last week. But you know, it I don't know. I really, this is the one that I'm just not sure about with either side. I just don't really know, you know, how much these injuries that Lamar has had is really going to affect him in the game. I think it's just gonna come down to, who's what, like what the strategy is and what who is out coaches the other, I just, again, I'm really, really not sure about this one.
It's a very weird game. It is
Yeah.
very weird.
I'm gonna go ahead and take the Steelers. I think they won the first one 27-22 in Baltimore. Lamar was playing that game. I think Lamar is having a down year.
Yeah.
I think just with his injuries, him coming back and playing, I don't know how much it's gonna hinder his performance out there on the field. And I think in Pittsburgh, coming off of a loss against Cleveland, I think the Steelers are going to be the hungrier team out on the field, and I think they go get the job done and win the AFC North, clinch themselves a spot in the playoffs. Last thing before we end it, MVP race is not exactly heating up. Drake May is now the large favorite to win it after Stafford's performance this last week. And we'll go around real quick and give your pick between the two and why. Vanessa, you can go first.
God, this is so tough. I guess I'll go with Drake May. Honestly, I think, he's just had such a phenomenal year. And for him to be a second year quarterback in the MVP race is even just impressive enough. And just watching the Patriots just completely turn around with him is just truly, truly amazing.
I'll agree with that. I'll go with Drake May as well. I low-key hate watched Matthew Stafford. I wanted the Falcons to win because the Falcons winning set up the second playoff scenario for the Panthers. But yeah, Matthew Stafford's been really, really consistent, really good the whole year, except for the last game he played, and then also the game against the Panthers, where I think he had three interceptions in that game. He had three interceptions in another game. Other than that, like, nearly perfect. But Drake, they've pretty similar, excuse me, they've pretty similar passing stats other than passing touchdowns, and Drake may use his legs a little more, so I think that kind of gives him an edge over Stafford. So yeah, I'll take Drake, man.
I'm going to disagree with both of you guys. I'm going to take Stafford.
Wow.
I have to be different here. I like Stafford. I think he's leading one of the best offenses, and he's doing it against some of the top teams. The Patriots, I know this argument has been made online for them, but their strength of schedule is one of the easiest in the league. And not to take away from Drake May's performance, but the teams he's doing it against aren't exactly as good. I think Stafford has more yards.
Yeah.
He's got more total touchdowns. They have the same amount of interceptions. I like Stafford just a little bit more on this one, leading the Rams to, I mean, they're still a very good 13-win team. So I'm going to take Stafford. That is going to be all from us here today, though, on this week's episode of NFL Friday. Catch us on any platform you can get your podcast on. But for Vanessa Casuda and Derek Bollier, my name is Brennan Shorey. Saying so long, tune in next week. NFL Friday is a production of WFUV Sports.